The President of the United States is the President of the entire United States. It's right there in the oath of office.
Will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And will to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
They're not President of some of the United States, not President of the states that they won. They're President of the entire country. Yes, the elections are partisan, but the office is meant to represent the entire nation. When he first became president, George Washington did a tour of the newly independent republic. He did so first because there was such great geographic distance between the many Americans that he wanted them to be able to see their president up close. But also Washington recognized that he had to engender the kind of unity that was going to make the project work. And by visiting every state, by visiting ordinary Americans of his own accord, he helped to do that. He helped engender this unity. Show them that he wasn't some distant ruler, but he was their president, the entire nation's president. The election of 1800 was one of the fiercest and most closely contested elections in American history. A real brawl between John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Adams, of course, lost in the Electoral College, and Jefferson and Aaron Burr, who were tied, ended up being in a long runoff that tested the bonds of union. There was real fear that if things were not settled, there would be conflict and violence. In his inaugural address, Jefferson emphasized the unity of the entire American public. "We are all Federalists," he said. "We are all Republicans. Partisan elections, partisan programs, but governance for the entire nation, that is the model." And that's always been the model since the very beginning. One of the truly distinctive things about Donald Trump, and there is not that much I say about Trump that is truly distinctive, a word that is often abused as unprecedented. Everything about Trump is unprecedented. I don't think that's true. There's a lot that's very precedented. But one thing that is not, one thing that's truly distinctive, is the extent to which Trump does not govern for the entire nation. The extent to which Trump does, in fact, treat the oath of office as something that just doesn't really apply to him. He does not govern the United States. He governs in the interest of the states that voted for him. He governs in the interest of the Republican Party, what he perceives to be the interest of the Republican Party. He rarely makes appeals to national interest. It's always about his particular interest, or what's good for Republicans. And we've seen that throughout his second term. Earlier this month, we learned that the administration had denied grants to states solely on the basis of the fact that they had voted for Kamala Harris in the 2024 election. The Trump administration has consistently denied FEMA aid to states solely on the basis of their Democratic affiliation, of their Democratic leadership. Minnesota faced a cyber attack from Iran, a result of the war Trump started. And Trump declined to lift a finger to help out, all because Minnesota is led by Democrats. And the governor, Tim Walz, was one of his political opponents in the 2024 election. When it comes to National Guard deployments and ICE and Customs and Border Protection, Trump has explicitly targeted Democratic-led states and Democratic-led cities, seeing them not as parts of a common country, but as places to be occupied by his private armies for the sake of his own narrow political interests. The administration has denied Medicaid funding to California and Minnesota under the guise of trying to stop fraud. And it's very funny to hear this administration talk about trying to stop fraud, given the extent to which the president himself is busy right now defrauding the American people, spending their money on his private projects. But that was the reason, that was the ostensible reason. But it's clear that those states were targeted for political reasons. He sees them as political opponents, and so he wants to deny them Medicaid funding. This targeting of states on the basis of partisan affiliation, denying them resources, denying them help, denying them assistance in the face of emergencies and disasters, that's unprecedented. And it frays the bonds of union. The basic bargain of the union is that the states are treated equally. That doesn't matter what state you live in, the federal government treats you the same as any other state, as any other person in the other state. When the federal government begins to say that some states belong more than others, that some Americans are more American than others, it threatens the very integrity of the union itself. If a state like California or Illinois is going to effectively subsidize many rural and lower income states and receive nothing in return, to be denied its rightful share of the national bounty because a majority of voters in the state voted against the president, if that's going to be the way things go, then what's the point in the union? It's interesting. Secession in the American past has always been by particular units within the country. During the War of 1812, New England had a discussion of secession in their opposition to the war. The war being prosecuted by a Republican president in James Madison. Again, this is not the same Republican as now, different Republicans. I'll call them Democratic Republicans, Jeffersonian Republicans, whatever. Opposition to the war. There is real conversation of whether or not they should secede from the Union in opposition to the war. The most famous instance of secession, obviously, is the 1860 secession crisis. When Southern states, in a bid to protect slavery from any kind of federal regulation, seceded from the Union after Abraham Lincoln was elected president. We've never really seen a situation where it's the federal government that is engaged in an act of almost reverse secession, removing itself from its obligation to the entire Union. It's as if secessionists won control of the federal government and then are attempting to secede without secession as we traditionally understand it, trying to fracture the notion of a united country. One funny thing about all of this is it does seem downstream of having your brain poisoned by electoral college maps. It's clear that Trump believes that, say, because Minnesota is a blue state, therefore everyone there is a Democrat, or because California is a blue state, therefore every Californian is a Democrat. But there were more Republican votes for Donald Trump in LA County alone than there were in the entire state of Oklahoma. The fact of the matter is that there are no states that are politically homogenous. Every state has a sizable amount of political diversity. Our political system doesn't do enough to capture that, and that's a real problem. That's a real issue. Something like the Electoral College, winner takes all, exacerbates the sense that we are divided in this almost binary way. That in most places where people live, the parties may not be evenly split, but there isn't some sort of wide disparity. It's 55-45, 60-40, 70-30 sometimes. But still substantial portions are a political minority. And so when Trump denies FEMA funding to a blue state, he may very well be denying help to his voters. See, the thing about accepting responsibility for governing the entire nation is that you don't have to make those kind of calculations. You don't think about it. At that level, it no longer matters whether or not someone voted for you, just whether or not they need help. I think we should have universal health care in this country. I think we should have an extraordinarily robust social safety net that provides not just health care, but housing assistance, food assistance, that subsidizes the arts, that subsidizes education, that has free college, that has all of these things. And I don't especially care if someone who has fundamental political disagreements with me gets the benefit from it. That's the point. The point is that it benefits everyone, regardless of what our politics happen to be. That sense that we share a country, that this is a common endeavor, that we should strive for everyone to benefit, that's what makes democracy sustainable. That's what makes it possible for us to live together, even with our sincere and serious disagreements. And I do think that ultimately you should see Trump's refusal to govern for the entire public, the refusal of the people around him to govern for the entire public. Because it's not just Trump, it's Russell Vogt, it's Stephen Miller, it's Pete Hegseth, it's Marco Rubio, it's all these people. Their rejection of their responsibility to govern the entire nation, that is downstream of their rejection of the idea that all Americans count equally, that all Americans deserve an equal say in our government, that all Americans have equal weight in the eyes of our government. That this isn't a society based in hierarchies where some Americans are more American than others. They reject that. They believe just the opposite. Now, some of us just don't belong for reasons of race, ethnicity, or religion. They do not govern for United States of America because on a fundamental level, on the most fundamental level, they do not believe in the United States of America. As always, let me know what you think. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.